The following audio is from Redemption Church. More information about our church can be found at www.redemptionchurchlacombe.org.
How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my soul? Have sorrow in my heart all the day. How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Pray with me. Gracious God, Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Lord God, your word speaks to us in a way that no one or nothing else can. Father God, your word holds life, holds everything to us, Lord. When we are in the pit of despair, when we are fighting and struggling and hurting and we feel alone and lost and forgotten, Lord God, we could go to your word and remember who you are. And we could bless you, Lord. And we could praise you. And we could worship you. Lord God, speak through your word today. Be glorified today. Be exalted and magnified and lifted high today. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll be in Psalm 13 this morning. Good morning. David's in a situation here. We don't really know quite what is going on with David this morning. We don't really know when he wrote this. We don't really know what circumstance he was going through. We don't know what situation he was struggling with. But we know that he was overwhelmed. He felt forgotten. He felt neglected. He felt rejected. He felt like no one, not even God, was listening to him. He felt all alone. Don't raise your hand, but does anybody in here feel that way ever? I believe every single one of us here has felt that way at some point. We'll probably feel that way again. And maybe very well feeling that right now as you sit here. Life is not always easy. Life is hard sometimes. Life throws curveballs at you. You know, we have this thing called crisis, and it occurs at the moment least expected. Like, you never expect that you're going to wreck your car. You never expect that you're going to be diagnosed with cancer. You never expect that someone that you love is going to be struggling with an addiction. You never expect any of these life circumstances to come at you, but they do. They come at us continually. We live in a dark, fallen, sin-affected world. And this is what we live with. But we're going to see today that as David worked through this, as David battled through this, and he goes to God, we're going to see how he processes this despair, this feeling of being overwhelmed, this feelings of anxiety and of depression, and he needs God. And he cries out to him. And we're going to see today, as we continue with Pastor Byron's series on meeting with God, how David met with God even when he felt overwhelmed. And you can too. I can too. I could tell you a few personal stories moving into this. When I was about 17 or 18 years old, I came down with this condition called vasculitis. It was really weird. I thought I sprained my ankle. I was on prom night, and I thought I sprained my ankle. I was a mess. I couldn't dance or anything, but it hurt, and I had like this big red rash on my ankle, and I had no idea. It turned out to be something internal, vascular. It would affect my ankle at one point. It would affect my elbow at another point. My knees at another point, and it was like an arthritis, and it was painful, and it would come and go. I would take medicine for it, and it would go. I fought with this for years, and I remember being in so much pain in the middle of the night in my 20s, crying out to God, how long, oh God, am I going to have to deal with this pain? How long is this going to last? Praise God, He's taken that away from me. He doesn't always. We're going to see that. But not without effects. I suffered kidney damage because of it. Needed a kidney transplant. Praise God, I got a kidney transplant. But we all deal with these things. My poor wife struggles with breathing issues from time to time. Sometimes they get really, really bad. So scary that she thinks she's going to lose her life. And she very well might if we don't get her to the hospital in time. How long, oh Lord, is she going to struggle with this? How long? Many of you know that we struggled for years with some issues with one of our children. I'm not going to get into the details. That's his story. But I can tell you this. It was hard. It was really hard. There were times when we just didn't know what to do. There were times it hurt. Praise God, though, that we could go to Him and He works through those things. And He works mighty miracles. He works through every one of those details. I can remember many a morning when I realized how much I had to go to prayer, how much I had to meet with God over this, that I would get up. That was when I started my getting up early time, like, you know, Pastor Byron's been talking about meeting with God and having that quiet time in the morning. My quiet time in the morning started out of desperation. Out of pure desperation, saying, I need to meet with God. I need help. We need help as a family. And I literally would lay down on the floor outside of each of their bedrooms on my stomach and just pray. Pray for each one of them by name. Lift them up to God. Family, this is real. This is real life. When we come here to Redemption Church, as again Pastor Byron says a lot, we don't want to put on masks. We don't want to be a church that pretends like we've got it all put together and everybody's a neat package. And unless you are a neat package, you can't come here. No way. We are a church that I can look around and see people we've lifted up in prayer over cancer, people going through addiction issues, people going through all sorts of trouble that we've come alongside of and met with and prayed with and lifted them up before God, and we're watching them work through it and watching God work through it with them. Praise God. Praise God. So turn with me, if you haven't already, to Psalm 13. So, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Two verses, four times David's questioning God. How long? So, when you're questioning God how long, you're not alone. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the Word of God because God gives us people in here that we can look at and we can relate to. I can look at David and say, David was made anointed king over Israel by God. God Himself said, he's a man after my own heart. And yet David was a man with many flaws. And praise God, they're recorded for us so we could learn, so we could grow, so we could be more like Christ, so we could be walking with Him and meeting with Him more regularly. This is what's called a psalm of lament. A psalm of lament defined means a passionate expression of grief or sorrow. Again, we could all relate to that. To having grief, having sorrow in our life, and just expressing it passionately. We see here, David feels forgotten. He feels neglected by God. He feels rejected as if God has turned away from him. It's okay to lament. It's okay to express these things to God. This is not complaining. You know what David's doing here? He's taking that first step to meeting with God. David is going before God and he's going, I don't even know what to say, but Lord, how much longer do I have to deal with this? Psalm 10:1 says, why, O Lord, do you stand far away from me? Why do you hide yourself in my times of trouble? That's David again. It's okay when you're going through those times to feel it. David acknowledges his own counsel fails him. He says, how long must I take counsel in my soul? He's in his head. Anybody ever been in their head before with their thoughts and getting themselves all turned around thinking, oh, Lord, this is going on and that's going on, and I'm there often. But where do we go with that? Where do we go with that? Who do we turn to? What do we turn to? Do we turn to the God who can help us? Or do we run to all the things the world has to offer, thinking that something different is going to happen? Or do we go and trust God like David? How long must he take counsel? Look, as a counselor, as somebody who's currently still taking counseling classes, I can tell you it's not a good idea to take counsel within yourself. You're going to deceive yourself and lead yourself in all sorts of crazy places. I use that term loosely. Get help. Go to the Lord with it. We're going to see today how we could go to others with it as well. How we could be transparent. How we could be open. How we could seek help and prayer. Because God is faithful. God is good. And he's got it. So just when you think you don't have it, guess what? He does. Cry out to him. Cry out to him. Give it to him. Talking to yourself about it, go, just getting all up in your head and staying home and just worrying about it isn't going to help you. Reach out. Reach up and reach out. David finds himself afraid that his enemies will triumph, that they'll be exalted over him, that they'll be able to look and laugh. And actually here he's talking about his enemy, meaning death. He's looking to that. He feels as if he's just going to die in this. And it's just going to consume him. And the enemy, death, is going to exalt over him and his foes. You see the multiple plurality of foes, probably those that are around him in whatever situation this is. He doesn't want them to rejoice over him. He doesn't want them to laugh at him, to mock him. How many times are we afraid to go and seek help because we're afraid that people are going to laugh and mock us? Find yourself some good help, some people you could trust. You don't know where to start. You don't know what to say. What does David do? He goes before the Lord and just starts questioning him. Again, I know I keep saying this, but it's so simple. It's so simple, yet we don't do it. How many times have I found even myself like so caught up in something that I'm like, I can't even pray. David's there at this point. He's overwhelmed. So he just starts questioning God. What's he doing? He's praying. He's talking to God. Pastor Byron's going to start talking about in the next few weeks about prayer and really digging more into how to pray and what we do with that. He just cries out to him. So David started that conversation that led him to pray. And so David met with God through prayer in verses 3 and 4. David goes before him. Let's see what he says. His prayer is, consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say, I've prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. He goes before him, and his prayer is simple. His prayer is, consider me. Answer me. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. It's really simple what David does here. He's just asking the Lord. He's pleading with the Lord. NLT puts it this way. He says, turn and answer me, O Lord my God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes, or I will die. That sounds kind of weird, right? The sparkle to his eyes, the light up his eyes. What in the world is he talking about there? I remember when we were going through all that stuff with our son. I remember very specifically sitting in school one day. Remember this day crystal clear. Sitting in school, I'm actually in abnormal psych class of all classes. And I'm sitting in class, and all of a sudden, it literally felt as if a cloud just came up off of me. Like I could see clearly again. I could hear. I could think. I could understand. And it was at that moment I realized how buried in the anxiety and the depression I was in. How much of a mess I was, how affected my spirit was, that my eyes felt dim. My eyes lit up. All of a sudden, the Lord pulled it off of me, allowed this cloud of sorrow to just lift. And I realized at that moment, I could trust God with this. I believe that's what David's talking about here. You look at someone who you know is going through something, you could see it. You could see it. Words don't even have to be said. If you're spending time in community and you're loving on your brother or sister in Christ, you know you could see it in their eyes. And you know how it feels when you're there. You could feel it. Your eyes feel heavy. You just feel worn out. You just feel beat up. So we're going to look at some practical ways that we can meet with God, and then we're going to get back to David here a little bit. I want to lay this out with for you because some of these things David does. So the first point is that we pray. We pray. Make it personal. The first kind of prayer we want to do is personal. I want to pray. I need to pray. Me before God. You before God. Take a look with me at Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. Romans chapter 8, 26 and 27. Says, not in the right chapter here. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. When you don't know what to say, just talk to Him. You ever hear that word, that song on the radio when you just don't know what to say? Just say Jesus. And at first that sounds like, okay, whatever, that's an interesting song. But when you really think about it, there are times where you really just don't know what to say to God. You are in the thick of it. And all you could do is cry out to him. And if you just cry out to Jesus, if you just say Jesus, if you just call on him, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit will give the words, will go before God himself and talk and pray and talk to him on our behalf and begin to strengthen you and begin to give you the ability to continue to talk to God, to continue to meet with God. Just cry out to him. That's what David did. Oh, Lord, my God, how long, how long, how long, how long? It's not complicated. Just cry out to him. Don't give in to whatever it is that's pressing on you. Cry out to him. Ask him for the strength. Ask him to take you out of this, to help you with this, to guide you through this. He's the one we can trust. He is the faithful one. He is the one who can strengthen you in your time of need. We could also pray with others. When we come together and we ask people and we share with people, people can pray with us immediately right there and then, and that's really good. We need that. I know at times when Gail and I and our family have gone through things or I've gone through something and somebody just says, let me pray with you, brother, right now. That means a lot. It helps a lot because we are reaching out. We are praying to the God who is real, the only one who can truly help us in that time of need. We're not looking to go and see how we could do this or we could do that for the person. We are practically lifting up a need before the throne of grace, before God who is merciful. We get to do that. James 5:13-14 say, is there anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Go before people and ask them for prayer. Pastor Byron's been talking about time in the Word. Where else can we go to for life but to the Word of God? We need to spend time with Him. How? What kind of relationship are we going to have with someone if we don't spend time with them? Many of us in here are married. If we don't spend time with our spouse, if we don't talk to our spouse, if we get up in the morning, we leave, we come home at night, we go to bed, we don't ever talk, there's no relationship. We're just cohabitating a house. Have a relationship with God. He wants it. It's why he died to save you, to have relationship with you. He is so good. Foster that time with him. Build your relationship. Have a regular time with him. Community is another way. We can spend time in community. If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12. And I believe we're going to start maybe around verse 20. No, 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 says, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Paul is writing the church at Corinth to talk to them about being united, about honoring those who are less than, lifting them up, recognizing that everybody's got a purpose in the church. He goes on to say, if the foot said to the hand, I'm not of the body, I don't need you, or you're not of the body. If the eye says to the ear, or vice versa, they're all important. We need every part of our body, don't we? And when he's talking about not being divided, in verse 25 he says that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. This is a good time to plug our small groups. We have, I could tell you about the small group I've been part of. I don't know about the ladies' ones. I know they do the same. And actually, some of this care stuff, they do a whole lot better than we do. But what we have is something special. We come before each other, and we're open, and we're honest, and we share, and we genuinely lift each other up in prayer, and we comfort one another. And we're there. No judgment. It's not about judging. It's not about airing dirty laundry. It's about truly seeking your brother and sister in Christ and saying, partner with me. I need help. And then what do? We call them. We stop by. We visit. Community. We need to, when one part of the body suffers, it all suffers. Recently, I had some really bad toothaches. And tell me, when you have a toothache, does not the rest of your body hurt? Like everything, like your head hurts, you just feel like my throat was getting sore, and I didn't have a cold. Like everything hurt. Couldn't think, I couldn't function. I ended up having those teeth all pulled out, so that problem's gone. Praise God. But when one part of the body suffers, it all suffers. And we could see that. I love the analogy that Paul gave here of the body. The physical body. When we think about our body, we need them. We need each other. So, small groups, regularly attending church, make and foster godly friends. I'll tell you what. You want to have friends that are going to lift you up and encourage you in Christ and going to pray with you. And who will look you in the face and say, what you're doing is wrong. And this is why, and I'm coming alongside of you because I love you. And you're about to jump off a cliff, and I'm going to save you. I'm going to grab you and hold you and say, stop. Those are the kind of friends we want. We don't want the friends that we're going to share this with be the ones that are going to be like, oh, it's okay. You go ahead and keep feeling that way. You deserve it. It's your right to feel that way. No, you want godly friends who are going to build you up, encourage you, drag you out of the pit and say, come on, let's get out of here. Don't hang around with the ones that are going to drag you down. Tell them about Jesus. That's what you do. I'll tell you what, there's something about telling somebody else about Jesus, even when you're not feeling it at that moment, that just lifts your spirit, that just builds you up, that just strengthens you, because you realize at that moment exactly who the one who can help is. He's the only one that can help. These struggles, they're but for a moment. I know, like David, they feel like they're forever. How long are they going to last? But when we think about eternity, when we think about being with Christ for all eternity, when no pain, no tear, no sorrows, all sin wiped away, all struggles gone, forever. This is nothing. It's but a short moment, a vapor, James calls it. Hang in there. Go get help. Cry out to God who can help you. You know, when Pastor Byron first asked me to preach, last month, I believe it was, I'm like, all right, so like one of the first things that came to my mind was Psalm 13. I'm like, all right, well, I'll pray about that and I'll think about that. And then I'll tell you what, it was like just all around me, everything just started falling apart. Friends were going through stuff. Things were just going wrong in so many areas. so many people desperately needing help. And I'm like, okay, Lord, this is where we need to be. We need to be here where we can look to you and we can gain hope in Christ. Hope in a God who loves us enough to make it all right for us in the eternity, in the forever. Worship. Music. David, we're going to see, is going to end in song. This is actually, Psalm 13 is actually a song. This was something that they sang. Worship. Hymns and other Christian music that could just build you up and point you to the doctrines of God, the theology. Who is God? Not these songs about how, oh, I feel bad and I don't know where I'm going to go and what I'm going to do, or, you know, but ones that draw you to your knees before a holy God, where you know you could get the help that you need. I was listening to some music this morning, and I like to have a little music when I read sometimes, and it just, some people it distracts. For me, it just kind of draws me in more, and then every once in a while I bounce out and start like worshiping with the music and stuff on my own. I love it. But Lauren Daigle has a song, I Will Trust in You, and the chorus goes, when you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answer as I cry out to you, I will trust in you. And we're going to see this is what David does. This is what David does. As he works through this lament, as he works through this deep, agonizing sorrow, feels all alone, and starts crying out to God, and then morphs into prayer, we're going to see him then again morph into worship and praise and song. Our God is good. He gives us everything we need. There was a 2004 study by Howard Stone, David R. Cross, Karen B. Purvis, and Melissa J. Young entitled, A Study of Church Members During Times of Crisis. And this study revealed 6 common themes that help people in crisis. First one was the presence of others. When you isolate yourself, when you find yourself feeling alone, that's a recipe for disaster. That's bad news. When you're hiding in your room and you can't go anywhere, that's not good. The presence of others helps you. Community, coming to church, growing. Prayer was the second one. Prayer with individuals immediately and individuals who said, hey, I will pray for you, because there was a confidence that those people were praying for them. That helped. And then, of course, with others in a group, just like we just went through with the scripture. The third one was acts of kindness from others. Our community groups, our small groups, our care groups, as we like to call them, are meant to do acts of kindness to one another. When someone's sick, bring them a meal. When someone's struggling, come alongside of them and visit with them, have coffee with them. When someone is financially struggling, maybe come by the house and help out with some repairs, or do a little grocery shopping for them and drop it off. Little acts of kindness help people get through crisis. Number 4 was music. We discovered that music, that worship, just, it gave the believers, it gave those people in the church the help that they needed to get through that time of crisis. Resilience was number 5. And resilience basically meant that their confidence was not in everything and the storm and everything going on around them. Their confidence was in the Lord. They knew that they could go to God and that he was going to see them through this. They knew that no matter how hard it was, no matter how long it took, that God is good and God would take care of it one way or another. Number 6 was empathy. when others had similar experiences and shared them with them and talked to them about it and came alongside of them and said, hey, I understand what you're going through. I've been there myself. Or, come here and let me just spend time with you and just share in their grief with them. That helped. You can't do that at home alone. You need to have community. You need to reach out. 2 Corinthians 1, 3-5. I wasn't going to turn there, but I'm going to. Second Corinthians 1, 3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. Comfort others as you've been comforted by God. Share with others as God has done in your life. So, how do we tie this back on to David? So, David met with God and was changed. We're going to see this. I'm going to take a look at this right now with you, and we're going to go through these verses kind of fast. David realized, he remembered through his time of prayer, when he came to him and he's saying, how long, and consider and answer me, light up my eyes. He remembered God, that he could trust him. Was he forgotten? Isaiah 49, verses 14 and 15. I'll just turn there. You can turn there if you want. Isaiah 49. But Zion said, or Israel said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. We've heard that before, haven't we? And he responds in verse 15, can a woman forget her nursing child that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. God doesn't forget us. He didn't forget David. Perhaps David remembered this. God doesn't forget us. Like a nursing mother won't forget her child, God won't forget us. Where was God? We're going to jump around a bunch of Psalms now. Psalm 56. In Psalm 56, verse 8, it says, you have kept count of my tossings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? God knows our tossings. He knows when we're lying in bed and we just can't sleep because we have so much on our mind. And our tears, he knows them too. It says he puts them in a bottle. Now, I didn't get into all what that language meant, but the fact is, God knows. You're not alone. He was there the whole time. He didn't go anywhere. It's at times like this where we need to wonder, where have we gone? Where have we? In James, he talks about draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Guess what? God hasn't pulled away. It's us that usually pull away. It's us that usually we're like, where are you, God? Where are you, God? He's like, I've been here the whole time. Where are you? Okay, these will be quicker. Psalm 5, because we've been in Psalm 13, right? Psalm 5, 1-3. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God. For to you do I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning, I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. He hears David's voice. He hears your voice when you cry out to him. Psalm 3, verses 5 and 6. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. David has such confidence in the Lord, he can lay down and sleep. He's not worried about it. Even in those times where he's groaning to him, he knows he could rest. He wants you to rest too. Psalm 6, 6 to 9. Even in great weariness of David's soul, the Lord heard him and accepted his prayer. It says, I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eyes waste away because of grief. It grows weak because of all my foes. Depart from me, all you workers of evil, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. That is a picture right there. I weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I kind of picture like he's just crying so much in his bed that his bed is soaking wet from his tears. He drenches his couch with his weeping. But he knows the Lord has heard his plea. The Lord accepts his prayer. Don't think you can't go to him. You absolutely can. And we all need to go to him. Psalm 9, 7 to 10. But the Lord sits enthroned forever. He has established his throne for justice. He is sovereign, King, God, Lord over all. And he judges the world with righteousness. He judges the peoples with uprightness. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. He is a stronghold. He is a righteous judge. He is our strong tower. He is the one that we could go to every single time. But I have trusted, David says. Verse 5. But I have trusted in you, Lord, in your steadfast love. His heart, he says, my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. He remembered all that God, he has in God. He remembered the goodness of God. He went from being in such despair to saying, how long, four times, and just struggling through whatever it is he's going through, to, I've trusted in your steadfast love. He can look back and remember how many times God delivered him. Amen? How many times has God delivered you? That's what keeps us going. We can remember, even as hard as it is right now, we can remember how God has delivered us in the past, and we can trust him. He turns to song. He says, I will sing to the Lord. He begins to worship. Praise God. David's no longer in that funk. He's no longer in that pit, but he's praising God with song. Because he has dealt bountifully with me. He's remembering the many blessings God has given to him. Family, how many blessings has God given to you? First one. He's given us breath, right? He's given us the ability to wake up every morning. Thank you, Lord. Though everything has fallen apart around me, I'm alive to see another day and to hope in you, to put my trust in you, oh God. That's how David's feeling at this moment. And that's how we need to work through these things that we go through. We trust him. We rejoice in him. He restores our joy. He gives us a peace that we can rest at night. And we can worship Him. Praise God. We can worship Him. So, this quote that I'm about to read, I believe was by Alistair Begg. It says, David had a change in perspective, not in his circumstances. Take notice here. We don't see that David's circumstances changed in the psalm, do we? We see that David's perspective changed about God. David suddenly realized, God is way bigger than me. And He's got this. I don't have to worry about this anymore. I can worship God and give it to Him. Peter tells us to cast our cares on Him because He cares for us. He cares for you. When you cast something to somebody, when you throw a ball or a basketball, guess what? It's no longer in your hand. You threw it to the other person. Cast your cares on Him. David's perspective changed about his circumstances when he realized that he worshiped a God who is sovereign, that he worships a God who is strong, a God who is mighty, a God who has delivered and will continue to deliver. So we don't know the outcome. We don't even know what the circumstance was. We don't know how long this even took. You know, we read this nice and neat little psalm, 6 verses long, right? In about a couple of minutes. This could have been many, many years of processing through this. It's possible that the first 2 verses were sometime, a good period of time of his life. And the next 2 verses could have been him working through it over time. And the final result of worship could have been even longer. We don't know. But it doesn't just happen overnight. But you can have peace and rest and trust God that He is good right now. And that He will deliver you. He will see you through this. He is the one who is able, not us. Don't take counsel within your own soul. What a mess. My mind plays tricks on me. I have some serious thinking that is just like, what? That is not true. Embrace truth. Truth of God's word, who He is. He is mighty tower. He is the strong tower. He is our fortress. He is our rock. He is the one that we can stand on, and He's got it. Just trust Him. What does that trust look like? Those of you with children, yeah, sometimes our kids question us, and sometimes they give us lip, and sometimes they give us a hard time. But guess what? They trust you that you're going to feed them. They trust you that you're going to take care of them. They trust you that you've got their best interest in mind. They don't worry about that. That's how God wants us to trust Him. He's got it. We don't have to worry about it. Like a childlike faith, we're told. So many of us have been there. Many of us are probably there right now. And many of us, if we're not there, will be there. Psalm 61 is another psalm that David works through this. This one's got a little bit of a different tone to it, but it's very similar. Psalm 61, verse 1 says, "Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint." He sounds kind of distant there. "From the end of the earth I call to you. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge. You have been a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name." Verse 8, "So I will ever sing praises to your name as I perform my vows day after day." He continues to seek after God, to worship Him, to praise Him, to pray to Him as he works through all this. Because he knows that God is the mighty one, the powerful one, the strong one, the one who can do it all. I want to read a quote to you. I have a childhood friend, somebody I've known since I was probably an early teenager, who last year lost her husband to cancer. And this year, her nephew passed away from cancer as well. So her nephew, apparently, we didn't know him. I didn't know him. Apparently, he was a famous BBC actor. 33 years old, dying from cancer. He posts this on social media. Hi, friends. As a lot of you are probably aware, I've spent a lot of time in and out of the hospital over the past few months. This time it was decided that I was reaching the end of options, so they sent me home on palliative care to live out the remainder of my days at home. No specific time limit has been given, but deterioration has been fairly rapid. I've been sleeping a lot and narrowly dodged a coma by accidentally overdosing on morphine the other day. Anyway, as you can imagine, this isn't the ideal way I wish things to go, and my family are dealing with a lot of grief. I just wanted to say, I love everyone reading this status so much. You have been such an amazing, kind, caring people who have all touched my life in so many unique and incredible ways. Sorry if this status is too schmaltzy or sentimental. I had to look that one up. But not everyone has the chance to say goodbye, so indulge me, LOL. This is where it gets real. If you're wondering why I'm not sounding freaked out by the whole situation, well, initially I was. But as always in a time of crisis, should have been that way before, I'm ashamed to say, I turned to God and my Christian faith. Been reading the Bible daily, listening to Christian songs and sermons, and it changed my entire mindset to nothing but peace and gratitude. Guys, regardless of a few medical issues, I have been blessed with the best life and the best friends, and aside from not following God more diligently earlier in life, I don't have any regrets. If you don't know Jesus already, my only hope is that you get to know him before you get to my state. He'll totally rock your world in the best way. Parting words of a dying man. Only regret is that he hadn't turned back to God before. Church family, turn back to God now. Turn back to God now. We don't know when our time is. We don't know what the next struggle is. But there is peace, and there is hope, and there is a God that we can trust in. God is good. So, real quick, Psalm 22 tells us about another person who's gone through this. Now, this psalm is also a psalm of David, but this psalm was quoted by our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. First, starts off verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. And then he begins to remember who God is. Again, Jesus said this from the cross in Mark 15:34. He said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which meant, and was translated for us in the scripture, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus was forsaken. Jesus was smitten. Jesus was beat. Jesus was whipped. Jesus was laughed at and mocked and made lowly and miserable for you, for me. So that we can draw close to God, so we can meet with God and know that we have a God who loves us enough to die for us. So that we could give our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He took the penalty for our sin. Not just our sin corporately, my sin, your sin. And He wants each one of us to have that personal relationship with Him, to come before Him, say, Father, I acknowledge who You are. Jesus is Lord. Forgive me of my sin. I trust that Jesus paid the price on that cross for me that day. And I can have life in You. He wants to save you. If you don't know who He is, you have no hope. You have no rest. You have no peace, because all you have is the world and your own counsel. But when you have Christ, oh, my God, you have it all. You have everything, because He's got you in His hand, and He's not going to let go of you. And you know that even in glory, you're going to have it far greater for all eternity. Scripture tells us that we are co-heirs with Christ. We will live for all eternity with Him, with the same blessings. That's just mind-blowing. So these short, momentary afflictions are but for a time. They're a vapor. And they're hard. Draw close, meet with God, prayer. Spend time with Him in all these things. Some of you here, you know Him. And you're in the pit. And you don't know what to do. Cry out to Jesus. Cry out, Lord, tell Him. Tell Him your troubles. He wants to hear them. And He wants to meet you in that place and help you out of it. Now, some may not get out of it, but you still can trust Him to see you through it and to bring you into an everlasting glory with Him. There's still peace there. There's still hope, because we have something far greater to look forward to. But if you don't know Him, don't spend another day without Him. You have no hope without Him. Nothing the world offers can help you. Nothing, nothing, nothing. I don't care what you try. I don't care who you go to, what scheme you fall for, or what. It doesn't matter. Nothing will help you like the Lord Jesus Christ. So, as we close in prayer, we're going to have a time where we could receive you for prayer, time to respond. I'll be in the center with my wife, Gail, and Jared, and Jerry will be up here as well. So please come forward. Please come forward. If you want to put your faith in Christ, we could talk about that. If you just needed prayer, whatever the struggle is, you don't even have to say what it is. Come up. We love you. We want to pray with you. Or praise God if you've got something you want to rejoice over. Come up. Up here is not just for those who are in the pit, but it's for anyone who just wants a prayer. Feel free to come on up. Let's pray. Gracious, holy God, Lord, we come before You today and we learned about Your Son, about Your Son David, Father. We know that He was a man after Your own heart, and He had many struggles and many trials. And we know, Father God, that He went through so much, Lord. He went through so very much, but He trusted in You, God. He trusted in You because You are holy and You are mighty and You are God and You are strong tower, mighty fortress. You are the rock. You are everything, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that if there's anybody here today that just needs You, Lord, they will cry out to You. That they will lift up their head and go to the one, the only one who can help them in their time of need. Father God, I pray that if there are those who don't know You here, that they would give their lives to You. That they would trust Jesus as the only one who could save them. That they would trust Jesus as the only one who can give them eternal life, that no other religion, everything else fails. There's only salvation in Jesus. Father, I thank You, Father, for the storm that we hear outside. I thank You, Lord God, that you are good even in the midst of the storm. We can trust you. We thank you, Lord God, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.